Thank you for listening to the Burnside at Home service. Today I've included some parts of the service from Sunday the 17th of May. I've kept it very short because you're listening on the phone, so I've taken out the items of praise, but you will be able to listen to the opening prayer. There's a Bible reading today from Reed Anderson and then the sermon. After the sermon, you can stay on the line and listen to the Reverend Terry McMullen, who is talking about some of our PCI missionaries and the challenges that they face with regards to the coronavirus. And then Terry will lead us in prayer. This is obviously all out of order, but it's just in case you want to listen to the sermon. And then if you have extra time, you can listen to some other parts of the service. It's all in a slightly different order, but I'm sure you can follow along. If it makes reference to a song, the song won't appear in the recording either. I hope that you're very much keeping well at home and staying safe during lockdown. And we can't wait until you're able to come back to Burnside and we're all able to meet together. But in the meantime, this is the best that we can do. And so we worship God and we praise him and we remember that he is the one who sustains us and keeps us in everything that we do. So let's worship God together. Welcome to Port Stewart and to Burnside at Home. We gather to worship God in this virtual space today. And today we're going to deal with a very difficult issue. We're going to look first of all at life and how we can live life to the full. But whenever we want to live life to the full, we also have to deal with the area of death. And death isn't something that we normally like to talk about. And yet it's filling our news reports day after day with numbers of deaths being announced. And so we find that as we follow Jesus Christ, to have life in all its fullness, we need also to look together at death. So that's what we're going to do as we worship God together today. And we're going to be thinking about John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus tells us that he has come to give us life in all its fullness, in all its abundance. And we're also going to look together at Psalm 130. Because in Psalm 130 we read, "Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem you from all your sins." And so to have that life in all its fullness, we need the redemption of Jesus Christ. And that redemption only comes about through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so we're going to sing a version of Psalm 130, which has been written by the Gettys. And in this hymn, we sing together, "Out of the depths I cry to you. In the darkest place I will call. Incline your ear to me anew and hear my cry for mercy, Lord." And then there's a refrain that's repeated throughout the psalm as we're going to sing it together. "I will wait for you. I will wait for you. On your word I will rely. I will wait for you, surely wait for you, till my soul is satisfied." And that's what I want each one of us to find today in this time of worship. That we would find our souls satisfied, not in the things of the world, but in Jesus Christ. As we trust in him for abundant life, but as we trust in him in death. As we think then about these issues of life and death, let's come to God in prayer. And as we pray, let's ask him to speak to us today and help us to realize the significance of the eternal life that he offers us. And the assurance that we have in death. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the eternal life that you offer to us through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We thank you that Jesus went to the cross and died in our place so that we no longer need fear death, but so that we can have this wonderful assurance of life in all its fullness.
Lord, help us to know life in all its fullness. Help us to know this abundant life day by day. And help us to live with this assurance that you have taken the sting out of death and it is no longer something that we need fear. Help us, Lord, to realize that you have the words of eternal life, that you bring us living water that brings us to eternal life, and that once we have tasted that living water, we will never thirst again. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted by the things of this world and to drink all of them looking for meaning and purpose, but help us to come to you in these times. Lord, we thank you this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for the life that you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us day by day to live for you and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible reading is taken from John 10, verses 7 to 18. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Amen."
Today in our service, we're thinking about these two issues of life and death. And so far, we've been examining them together and seeing how one relies very much upon the other. We were thinking about with why Jesus, how Jesus Christ is the one who can satisfy us through giving us eternal life, through being the living water that transforms us. We were thinking with the children earlier about Lazarus and how Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. And yet we have this strange little scenario of Lazarus has tasted what it's like to be in heaven, and yet he comes back to live on earth. And we need to be reminded that we put all of our effort into this life here on earth. And we do everything that we can to preserve life on earth. And so we should, because it is the most wonderful gift. But we need to remember that there is a better life to come, and that Jesus Christ is returning one day to take us to be with him. Whenever we're thinking about life and death, that great theologian Bill Shankly once said, "Some people believe football is a matter of life and death. I am quite disappointed by that attitude. I can assure you it's much more important than that." And for many people, football or something else is the most important thing in their lives. And then whenever death comes along, it interrupts their life, it takes their life from them. But I have the good news for you today that death cannot interrupt the life of a Christian. Death cannot take away the life of a Christian, because death simply enhances the life of a Christian. We live each day with Jesus Christ, the best life that we could ever imagine. And we know for certain that death is coming. And when death comes, we will go to be with our Heavenly Father. And so death is something that we are prepared for, and death is something that enhances life. Often in the Christian life, we talk about eternal life. We look forward to eternal life, and we think of that eternal life as being something in length, that it goes on and on and on forever and ever, that there will be no end to this life with God. But today, I hope you've realized, as we read from John chapter 10 and verse 10, that eternal life is also eternal in quality, not just in time. And so there in John 10:10, Jesus talks about the abundant life, life in all its fullness. A life that is beyond the ordinary, mediocre life of this world. Life that is incredible. An eternal life in quality. A life that cannot be bettered. A life that is lived in all its fullness. And so today, that is the life that Jesus is offering to each one of us. Eternal life in the future that will go on and on forever, but abundant life here and now, each and every day in all that we do. The psalmist, talking about life and death in Psalm 23 that we've looked at before, tells us the following. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that is a wonderful comfort. That whenever we face death, it is only the shadow that we are facing, because Jesus Christ has taken away the sting of death. He has taken away the substance of death. And of course, none of us want to go through that process of death. None of us want to face death any sooner than we have to, because God has placed us here in this earth, and he has given us a task to do in this earth. And so we're here because of his grace to live for him each day. But when he calls us home, then we are ready to go home with him. And we're only facing a shadow of something that other people dread. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ today, and one day you will face death, and you will face it alone, and you will have to deal with it alone. But Jesus Christ today is telling us that we can face death with him, and we need not fear. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And that is the wonderful promise that we have today, that Jesus Christ has loved us so much that he's given himself. He came and died the death that we deserve. The death that Jesus died is a death to be feared, a death to be dreaded. He went to the cross with sin, and he paid the penalty for sin, dying in our place. But because Jesus has done that, because he loved us so much, and he doesn't want us to perish, we no longer can face death with sin. We simply say to Jesus, "Jesus, you've died in my place. Take my sin. Forgive me, please." And now whenever we face death, we face a shadow, because we no longer go with sin, because our sin has been dealt with and our sin has been taken away. Paul faced the same dilemma that Lazarus faced, of whether it was better to be here on this earth or it was better to be in heaven. And this is what he says. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Paul knows that the greater thing is to go to be with God in heaven, but he knows that God has a task for him here, to preach the gospel, to be a witness to Jesus Christ. And so therefore, Paul is content to stay here and do what God wants him to do. And that's the case with each one of us. We won't stay on this earth a moment longer than God wants us to stay here. He has a task for us. He has a job for us. Whether it's in our daily lives and in our jobs and what we're doing, whether it's with our family or with our friends, Jesus wants us to be a witness for him. And whenever we have completed all that he has planned for us, then he will take us to be with him. We don't have to weigh it up and say, well, would it be better to be here or would it be better to be in heaven? God answers the question for us. The best place is to be in heaven, but for now, the best place is to be where God wants us, here on earth. So this is the assurance that we can have today, that Jesus Christ is able to save us and death cannot stop him. For many, death is something that they fear, something that they dread, something that there's uncertainty about. But for the Christian, there is assurance. Assurance that we will be looked after by our Heavenly Father. Paul tells us, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a powerful message from Paul, that nothing can separate us from God's love. And death certainly cannot separate us, because Jesus Christ has dealt with death and has replaced it with eternal life and abundant life. So today I say to you, Jesus offers each one of us eternal life, life in abundance, life in all its fullness. To gain that life, there has to be death, the death of Jesus Christ. But because of that death, you and I no longer need to fear death ourselves. So today is a day for trusting afresh in Jesus Christ. Today is a day for knowing once again that Jesus is able to give us this eternal, abundant, and full life. That if we trust in him, accept his forgiveness, then one day he will bring us to be with him and we will dwell in his presence for all eternity. There's a new hymn that we sang at Easter, which we're going to finish our service with today because the words are so appropriate. It's a hymn, Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. And in the first verse, there are a series of questions all about this area of life and death. We ask the question, what is our hope in life and death? And the answer comes back twofold. Christ alone, Christ alone. Christ is our hope in life, but also our hope in death. What is our only confidence, we ask? That our souls belong to him, who holds our days with his hands. What comes apart from his command, and what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. What wonderful words of assurance that if we have questions today, surely they are answered in the verse of this hymn. So let's sing it together. Let's meditate on the words. And let's remember Christ alone, Christ alone, Christ our hope in life and death.
It is my privilege this morning to speak to you about the global mission workers of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland who are facing great challenges in their situations due to the coronavirus. Our Presbyterian Church has 14 global mission workers serving in 10 countries in Africa, Asia, Europe, and South America. 12 are families and 2 are single women. The Global Mission Secretary, the Reverend Ewell Mars, and the Personnel Officer, Helen Johnson, are responsible for these mission partners and their families. The outbreak of the coronavirus earlier this year has presented a number of challenges to our mission workers, and they are as follows. First, do they come home or do they stay in their place of service? 12 have decided to remain in their place of service, but at this point I want to speak about one who has remained and one who has come home. Diane Cusick, after serving for 20 years in Malawi, moved to Zambia in 2015, where she has been setting up the Synod's Early Childhood Development Programme. Diane was to come on home assignment in March, but her flight to London was cancelled and she is stranded there. Diane is continuing to prepare for the training of teachers and visits to early childhood classes when the lockdown is lifted. The Reed family from Kenya came back to Northern Ireland on the last flight out of Nairobi. Gary and Mary Reed have been working in Kenya for the past 20 years, and when the virus arrived in Kenya, Timothy, Jonathan and Ruth were either working or studying in the United Kingdom. Samuel was at boarding school in Nairobi, and he was sent home when the school closed due to the lockdown. He was to receive lessons by the internet, but because reception is so bad where the Reeds are living, it was decided that they should return home. The whole family are living near Randallstown, and Ruth at Stranmillis University College and Samuel are receiving lessons and lectures via the internet. Gary and Mary are using the internet to communicate with the many people who have been praying for them, and they are also keeping in touch with the teachers of the churches in Olokinye Mission. Second, how do our families working overseas deal with the matter of children's education while continuing their work in their country of service? I counted that our families working overseas have 21 children between the ages of 1 and 22 years. Some families are separated and some cope with the lockdown where they are living. I give examples of the children of 2 of these families. Angelina Cowan came home with their teenage daughter, Anissa, in March. Stephen has remained in Toom to continue the work which he and Angelina have been involved in for the past 30 years. Cara is completing her degree in Bangor University in Wales. Jason is in Southampton University and continuing his first year via the internet. And Anissa, who is in her GCSE year, is currently writing final examinations from her secondary school in Kenya via the internet. Both are at home in Castlewellan with Angelina. Volker and Jinyo Glissman have been working in Malawi with TEAM for the past 8 years and currently live in Blantyre. Lena, Misha and Lucas attend secondary and primary schools there. Lena was to write A-levels exams this month, and she was expecting to come to university in Northern Ireland in September. The A-level exams will not now take place, so the future for Lena is uncertain. This is causing a lot of anxiety in the family. The three children are homeschooling. We would ask you to pray for these global mission workers in their various situations. Each person and family are dealing with different challenges and as they continue their work. They are subject to the restrictions regarding the coronavirus, and they have the challenge of continuing their work among using the internet for their as their means. Thank you for your prayers on behalf of those who are engaged in mission in 10 countries around our world. Thank you. Let us join together in prayer for those whom we have been remembering, our global mission workers who are working in overseas situations. Let us pray. O God, our loving Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today that we can come into your presence in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you for our Saviour and for his great love for us and the calling that he gives to us to go forth into the world to serve him among the peoples of the nations. We thank you, our loving Father, for our global mission workers whom we have been thinking about this morning. And we do pray, loving Father, that you would bless each one of them in their different situations and in their different contexts. And grant, gracious God, your guidance and leading to them as they seek to cope with the challenges that they face in these days. We do remember particularly today those whom we have been thinking about this morning. And we remember our Father Diane Cusick in Zambia, where she has had to remain for this time. Do be with her and encourage her in her work and witness. We do pray, loving Father, too, for your blessing and encouragement today, praying for your guidance and leading for Gary and Mary Reed at home at this time and their family. May you be with them as they seek to keep in contact with the work there in Kenya. And we do pray, loving Father, too, for Stephen Cowan remaining in Tuam and Angelina and the family at home. May each of them know your blessing in these days, and even while they are separated, yet in contact, we do pray that they may be sustained and upheld day by day. We pray, Father, too, for your continued blessing and encouragement for Volker and Jinyo Glissman and their children as well. Grant, loving Father, your guidance to them for the days that lie ahead. And grant that as Volker continues his work with TEAM in Malawi and also in South Africa, we pray that you would encourage the whole family at this time. And we do pray, loving Father, too, for the countries in which our missionaries are serving, for their governments, for those responsible for getting out of the coronavirus. We pray that you would guide and lead them in all that they do, and that you would keep all of their people safe. We do commit ourselves to you and pray for your blessing upon us as we go forth into our world. May we serve you faithfully and well. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.